So the scripture reading for today, the Old Testament scripture reading, comes from the book of Leviticus, chapter 25, verses 8 through 12a. That's Leviticus, chapter 25, verses 8 through 12a, which can be found in the Old Testament on page 112 in the Pew Bible. Listen now to God's word for us today. You shall count off 7 weeks of years, 7 times 7 years, so that the period of 7 weeks of years gives 49 years. Then you shall have the trumpet sounded loud on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. You shall have the trumpet sounded throughout all your land, and you shall hallow the 50th year, and you shall proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. You shall return, every one of you, to your property, and every one of you to your family. That 50th year shall be a jubilee for you. You shall not sow or reap the aftergrowth, or harvest the unpruned vines. For it is a jubilee, it shall be holy to you. You shall eat only what the field itself produces.
And now continuing with the theme of freedom and liberty, from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 31. Perhaps a familiar passage. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and truth will make you free." They answered, "We're descendants of Abraham. We've never been slaves. What do you mean by saying you'll be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave doesn't have a permanent place in the household, but the son, obviously he's the son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What I'd like to speak about today is the idea that God's intention is for all people to know freedom and to know wholeness. And perhaps in a secondary way, to accord with a statement from Thomas Jefferson that how can our liberty be secure if we lack the conviction that is a gift from God? And as a memory cue to help us, an image that perhaps will illustrate some of the biblical truths, I'd like to preach on the Liberty Bell. I'm from Philadelphia. I have my Philadelphia tie, and it has Betsy Ross and the Liberty Bell down at the bottom. And I know many of you are saying, "Ooh," and "Ah." And most of the young men are saying, "What's a tie?" But the Liberty Bell has a, maybe I'll put it over here, actually, not on the communion table. The Liberty Bell actually has an interesting history. It was ordered in 1751, long before the American Revolution. And it was ordered as the 50th anniversary of 1701, when William Penn had given the Charter of Liberty to the people settled in this land of Pennsylvania. And it was a considerable, for that day, a considerable amount of freedom. And so they got it from England a year later, and they rang the bell, and it cracked. And so Pass and Snow, one of them was actually just an apprentice, but Pass and Snow, they then recast the bell, melted it, recast it, and again it rang. And it was in the steeple of what we now call Independence Hall, and it would call people, much as your bell rings, to call people to come. And it would call for the assembly to come and be the assembly of the state. And in fact, if you didn't get there, you were fined. I don't know if Pastor Bob has introduced that yet here, but I understand the Finance Committee is probably seriously considering that. And it was wrong on other special occasions. We assume it was wrong in early July when the Declaration of Independence, which we associate with July 4th, was adopted, and on other special kinds of occasions. And then eventually the bell had worn out and it had gotten cracked, and so it was turned in. It was traded in for $400 to Mr. Wilbon, and he actually decided it might be an historical object, so he decided to leave it rather than take it for the $400 trade-in. And the civil authorities sued him that he had to take it. They wanted to get it out of there, sort of recycling, I guess. And it went to court, and the magistrate said, no, it could stay, but he didn't get his $400 back. And so it remained there and became a symbol of our country. It was wrong many times, and inauguration of a president, when Washington would have his birthday or later occasions. And they think maybe it cracked, especially when John Marshall died. He died in Philadelphia. And obviously a bell was the way they sent signals in that day. They didn't have Twitter, didn't even have Facebook. It was really primitive times for you younger people. And so the bell was the way that you communicated a happy occasion like a wedding or services of worship or Declaration of Independence being adopted. And so the bell becomes a call to celebrate freedom from. And that's very appropriate because the Liberty Bell has on the top of it, and I know all of you can see it right here on this bell, actually has on the top of it a verse of Scripture. Next time you see the Liberty Bell or an image of it, please check that out. And at the top it says, proclaim liberty, and liberty's in capitals, proclaim liberty through all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof. Leviticus 25:10. And that's referring to the biblical custom of the Jubilee. You know the sevens? The seventh day is the Sabbath day. It's a holy day. It's a day to be put aside for God. And seven sevens are 49, Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks. And then the year after that, the 50th year, is the year of Jubilee. It's the year that all those that had become indentured servants or slaves because of economic conditions were set free. Just as they had been released from slavery in Egypt, God's power still was at work, and in the promised land, they would be free. And those that had to give up their land because of economic hardship or difficulties, their land was restored. Again, God made a promise that they would have land. The promise would be fulfilled. And so it was a test, in a sense, both of their faith and their confidence in God's provision for them, that he would redeem them. It began with the Day of Atonement. We didn't read some of that part. And then the ram's horn, they didn't have a bell in those days that they would use. The ram's horn, the trumpet as we would call it, was blown. And then having offered sacrifice of the lamb to God for in the Holy of Holies, as Jesus has done for us, then all the slaves were freed, all the land was returned, is what Scripture says. Actually, there's no evidence they ever did that, but that's what they were supposed to do. And some of you that are Bible students are aware that the prophets then condemn the people of God for not doing it and said that's part of why disaster has come upon them. And Jesus, in his first sermon, this is all on the side, in Luke 4, takes that same text from the prophets, in this case, of the year of Jubilee. And now has come, he says, the time when the blind will see and the captives are freed. The year of Jubilee. And so it's a celebration of freedom from tyranny, July 4th. Sin, that which separates us from God, Satan, and all those things that would keep us apart. And so instead, we're welcome to Holy Communion because we're celebrating that freedom from all these things. The year of Jubilee. Our grandparents would be familiar with Harry Houdini. He was a famous illusionist and escape artist of his era. He was kind of the Penn and Teller of that day. And it was his custom, since obviously there wasn't TV, Facebook, radio, well, maybe radio toward the end of his time, he would go to the local sheriff and say publicly, so everybody would know, it was a publicity stunt, lock me in your jail and I'll get out in half an hour. And so they would take him to the town jail, they would lock him in the jail, and he was a master at this, and quickly he would be out free again and encourage people to come see his show. So this one town he went to, according to Zig Ziglar, the motivational speaker, he went to, and he was, as usual, went to the sheriff. The sheriff said, okay, the big jail door slams shut behind him, and then he waits for a minute, pulls from his belt, as he usually did, a little piece of metal, started picking the lock. Usually took him about 5 minutes, half hour, couldn't get it. The tumblers seemed different on this one somehow, and an hour later, he's working up a sweat. He's starting to really work at it and still couldn't get it. He'd never had this happen before. It's just a little town. How could their door foil him? And now, sweating, exhausted, he trips. He falls against the door, which swings open. They had never locked it, but because he thought it was locked, he had imprisoned himself. And so sometimes there are things, maybe in your life, maybe in our church, that we need to be freed from. The possessions that possess us, the deep-held prejudices that limited us, the untamed passions that lead us in the wrong direction, or whatever it might be for you. From what do you need to be freed? The Son comes, and whoever in the Son is now a child of God and begins to live out that freedom. Second aspect is that not only do we celebrate freedom from, but we have the courage of freedom that fills us. It's a freedom that is from within. John Milton, a longtime writer from long ago, of course, and poet, said, "Real freedom is always from within rather than from without." And that's the kind of truth we have. Sometimes we're in circumstances that we can't be freed. A physical infirmity, a economic difficulty, a relationship, a boss, hopefully not your church. Sometimes you're in a situation where, for now at least, you can't be freed. So what do you do? The Apostle Paul, for sharing the gospel, is with his companion, beaten and thrown in jail. And what does he do? He's free. He's singing hymns of praise to God. And that prison, if you remember the story, cannot contain him. Be filled with the courage that freedom brings. Again, in a sermon, I hope it doesn't come across that I'm making light of some of you face very difficult, challenging, terrible situations, and I don't in any way, but I can give you encouragement that God's Spirit fills us and makes things possible. We just closed our General Assembly of our denomination, and way back, several decades back, the moderator of General Assembly was the missionary Ben Weir. You may or may not recall his story. He was in our mission of the university in Lebanon, and a rebel group there kidnapped him and took him hostage. He was just there to serve them and serve the Lord, but he was still seen as a pawn since he was an American. And there he was chained to a radiator in a desolate room. He had to keep a blindfold on whenever any of those people came in so he would not see them. But he writes in his book later, and when I was in Lakeland, Florida, several missionaries there had been friends and co-workers with him, and they tell me about it, as well as in his book, Hostage Bound, Hostage Free. That is, he looked at the ceiling, he saw this kind of thing on the ceiling, and he made that into the eye of God that ever watched him and cared about him, no matter how difficult and uncomfortable and terrible these circumstances were. And two covers on the outlets, they were the ears of God ever listening. And later, when another captive was brought in to the room with him, they would share their bread but try to mark the day so they could keep just a little bit back. And on Sunday, they would share Holy Communion with the people of God. They were filled with a freedom that gave courage, that in the difficult, in the horrible times, would get us through. The bell rings. The bell of Jubilee, freedom from. The bell rings to inspire in us what we need to face the battle. And he illustrates the third and blessedly last principle as well, that the bell rings with freedom that connects us for serving God. He was just there to serve God. His freedom wasn't to do, in a sense, whatever he wanted. His freedom was to be obedient to the real King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and to share God's love and God's word with others. And so we're called freedom or liberty in the Old Testament usually means being freed from the created, our possessions. We just moved a year ago from Florida to Oil Valley, and our possessions almost prevented us from moving. A freedom from what is created for the claims of the Creator. And that's when the freedom comes. Many of you are aware of Stephen Ministry. Some of you are Stephen ministers. And Kenneth Haut, who began that in his book, Christian Caregiving, talks about the difference between a servitude and servanthood. Servitude is when you're manipulated, when you do something because you feel guilty, when you do something because the colonel ordered you to do it, or your wife or whoever ordered you to do it. But servanthood is when you're freed, that your gifts and your talents and what you love to do can then be offered to the Lord and utilized. It may involve some other pieces as well, but it's the freedom to now share what God has given and be faithful in the realization of God's promise in your life through what you do in sharing, as Allie suggested, God's love and graciousness with others as well. Samuel Francis Smith, born in Boston, went to Harvard University, then went to Andover Newton Seminary. He actually was a Baptist. He served several churches and later would serve on a mission board. An ability with language meant that he learned 15 different languages, and the year before he died in his 80s was learning Russian. He had such a heart to be free for sharing God's word, sharing the redemption that comes in Jesus Christ that we celebrate in communion with him. I'm told that in the Roman Catholic Church, and I'm far from an expert, but I think I have this correct, that at the moment that they believe the bread and the cup have become the very body and blood of the Lord, they ring the bell. And it reminds them that they are connected with the Holy of Holies. And for that, we are strengthened that we would go out, that we would serve. So Samuel Francis Smith, there we go, back with him. He was given a hymn by Lowell Mason and asked to write a hymn. The hymn he was given was a German version, God Bless Our Native Land. And he was so inspired by that that immediately on some scrap paper, he started to write some lines and he produced My Country 'Tis of Thee. And the tune that was adapted for it was actually a tune that's often used in Europe for many nationalistic hymns. It's mostly known in Great Britain for God Save the Queen. It's that tune. One time, the professor I was going to study with in Scotland, who was from Ireland, was here at Princeton Seminary where I was to give a lecture. And he said it was so nice on July 4th as he was out golfing that we were playing God Save the Queen over the loudspeaker. We had to tell him it was My Country 'Tis of Thee. So Mr. Smith wrote these words, the author of liberty, great God our King, my country 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. If the sun make you free, you are free indeed. Pray with me. Grant, O Lord, that as we recognize what imprisons us, that you would free us, that like Pharisees of old that have their customs and rituals in the wrong way, instead of being helps, became straitjackets, Jesus said, no, the Son will make you free. So grant as now we come, we might be able to commune with you, and thus filled, be able to live for you, as the body of Christ. So we pray it, coming with joy, in Jesus' name. Amen.